I know my destiny. There will come a day where my name will recall the most formidable crisis ever seen on Earth. The memory of the most profound clash of conscience. The casting of a sentence upon everything which, up until now, has been believed as holy. Because I am not a man, I am dynamite. And I will blow the foundations out of the ages. But I am no founder of a religion. Religion is for the mob. And I have no stomach for saints, and no need for believers. It is my belief that I am too full of malice to believe even in myself. I am horribly frightened that one day they will call me holy. And I refuse to be a saint. I would rather be a clown. Maybe I am a clown. But I am certainly not pretending to be a mouthpiece for the truth. Because nothing so puffed up with lies has ever existed as a saint claiming he has the truth. You see, my truth is terrible. Up till now, lies have been called the truth. So instead, I look for a transvaluation of all values. This is my formula for mankind taking his greatest step towards coming to his senses. A step which in me became flesh. And my destiny ordained that I should be the first decent human being. And I should feel myself opposed to the lies of centuries. I was the first to discover truth. I contradict as nobody contradicts. Nevertheless, I am the opposite of a negative soul. I am a bringer of joy, the like of which has never been seen before on Earth. I have discovered tasks of such lofty greatness that before me, nobody even had the imagination to see. It is only now that I have lived that mankind can begin to have fresh hopes. I am not a man. I am a destiny. Because when the truth enters into a contest with the lies of history, shocks will ensue. And this will lead to a set of earthquakes on a magnitude that the world has never seen before, which will transform hills and valleys and reshape our Earth. After which, the concept of politics will elevate itself to the realm of spiritual war. The old orders of the world will collapse. There will be wars the like of which have never been seen on the face of this Earth. And only after me will the understanding be born that the highest urgency is to rally mankind towards a supreme destiny. Zarathustra had just presented his vision of the Übermensch to the people. He did this during a performance by a tightrope walker. But unfortunately for Zarathustra, all the people present laughed at him. And unfortunately for the tightrope walker, he lost his footing during the commotion, and he fell all the way to the ground. He lay in agony at Zarathustra's feet. "Am I going to die?" he asked Zarathustra. "Is the devil going to get my soul?" "No, he will not," said Zarathustra. "There is no hell and there is no devil that you need to fear. You live the life of bravery, and your bravery will live for all of time. So in your honor, I will bury you with my own hands." And upon hearing this, the tightrope walker closed his eyes and smiled. He gave in to the pain, and Zarathustra sat with his body until the sun went down. Eventually he stirred, and he spoke to his heart. "What a day! I came down from my mountain searching for men, and all I have caught is a corpse. He is my first friend." And so Zarathustra slung his friend's body over his shoulders, and he made his way to the graveyard. And eventually he came across an open grave. But nearby were some grave diggers who recognized him. "Oh, you are the one who spoke today. The talk of the town. Do you realize that all the good and the just hate you with your strange notions? Before you make any more pronouncements, let me give you some advice. If you do not leave before tomorrow evening, it will be me burying your body in the ground. And so the gravediggers went on their way, leaving Zarathustra with his thoughts. And as the soil covered the face of his friend, all became clear. He realized who he was looking for. And so he spoke to his heart. A light has dawned upon me. I am not here for the mob. I am here to find my friends. I need friends who wish to follow me so they can find themselves. I find followers and believers worthless because they hate men like me. I destroy their tables of laws. But it's the destroyer who is the creator. And the friends I seek are destroyers who will chisel with their hands new values into the tablets. Because the world is ripe for the harvest, and I need those who are ready to whet their sickle without shame, because they will call us reapers. And they will say that we despise good and evil, but we will rejoice as we reap. So today I rejoice because I sowed my first seed into the ground. When I buried my first friend. But soon I will reap many like him, brave creators of the future, those in search of destiny. And I will show them a rainbow and all the stairs that lead up to the Ubermensch. And so Zarathustra began traveling, and he made it clear wherever he went that he was looking for the highest souls. Those creators who approach life with the seriousness of a child at play. But many people did not understand what it meant to possess such a soul. So Zarathustra described to them the evolutions a soul must go through in order to blossom into a playful creator who is ready for far-off horizons. So he pointed out how our souls begin by feeling our life as heavy. And we suffer with this passively until our souls transform for the first time into the camel. The camel is a beast of burden who can bear great loads upon his back. This soul wants the challenge of the heaviness. This soul wants to learn how strong he is by how much he can handle. The camel kneels down and takes all that is heavy upon his spine. The camel craves the heaviest things so he can rejoice in his strength. But what is the heaviest thing a soul can carry? Is it to be humiliated, so we can prove that we have overcome our pride? Or to love those who despise us and give our hands to tragedy? The camel takes the heaviest thing he can find upon his back and wanders out into the wilderness, where he cannot escape, where his burden will either destroy him or he will transform. And if he transforms, he will become a lion. He will cast off his heavy loads. Now he knows he is strong. What need is there to prove it anymore? Who does he need to listen to? The lion decides for himself. The lion embraces the danger of the wilderness. He roams wherever he wishes, with his destiny in his hands. He is a free spirit. But to secure this freedom, the lion must overcome the dragon. And the dragon will stand before him, sparkling with gold, majestic, a beast covered in scales. And on every scale will glitter a golden command. Thou shalt. The values of 1,000 years will glitter on these scales. This will be the final god to demand that the lion kneels. And the mighty dragon will say, all high things, all things that you have valued glitter upon my scales. All things that you treasure adorn my body. All values have already been created, and all created values is what I represent. There is nothing to discover and no meaning in your freedom. You lion spirit cannot create. There is nothing without me, only death and failure. You will always kneel at my feet. And so the lion must wrestle with this dragon. He must prove that he is capable of standing free. Because why does the world need a free-spirited lion? Why is the beast of burden not sufficient? The camel is humble. He bows down and he obeys. A rebellious free spirit is no foundation. He can only destroy and make way for the next evolution of the soul. The lion can win freedom for itself. And it is only once this freedom has been gained can the soul evolve into its most playful and highest form. The child. The child is innocent. The child is playful. The child is a new beginning. He can forget the past. He is innocent in his destruction. To him, the whole world is a holy game, which he can craft with his hand with unmatched joy. Through him, joy itself gains its own will. Through him, the whole world wins. Be like a child, my friends. Thus spoke Zarathustra. But despite Zarathustra's descriptions, he could not find his friends. He could not find lions with the soul of a child. Creators with a lust for the horizon. He could only find those who were confused, those who did not understand his message. So he continued traveling across the land, passing through valleys and over hills, presenting his wisdom so he could find his friends, his companions in creation. So he had to continue wandering the world.